Jo Muirhead, and this is the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast, a podcast for health professionals who want to know how we continue to serve our patients and our clients without sacrificing ourselves to the work. More than a conversation on making money or just burning out, this podcast has been created to progress conversations that we need to have to ensure that we know who we are so that we can serve those who need our help, so that we can actually be the significant difference in the world. And welcome back to the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. Yeah, I'm excited. When I first thought about who is somebody I would love to interview, it was this person. But this was way back when I was writing my book. So this was back in 2018, 2019, and we'd known each other for a couple of years, and I could see this person doing different, unusual, ballsy, for want of a better ways, pioneering things. And since then, I have watched this woman's career grow and develop and blossom. And I am really honored to have Nicole on my podcast today, because she now gets to share how she got to where she is from where she started. And this is going to blow your mind. But a little caveat before we start. Number one, we will talk fast. We just do. We are very good at talking fast, so this is not the podcast to put us on double speed. Just warning you. Second caveat is there will probably be some offensive language if you've got little people in the car or that hurts your ears. So you have been warned. You are welcome to fast forward. You are welcome not to listen, but please don't tell me that you're offended, because I just want Nicole to tell her story and I want my reactions to be the way they would come out of my face and my head. So who am I talking to? Well, Nicole, who are you and what do you put out to the world?
Oh my goodness. Hi, my name is Nicole Stoller-Peterson and I have been a therapist for, I don't know, since 2009-ish. And I have found that I am not a therapist who wants to spend all of their time doing therapy. So I have branched out and used some skills and some talents that have come my way through different types of work that I've done. Court is my specialty. I have loved court for a long time. And the first time I went to court, I didn't love it. But let's clarify that. But then after that, and so that's what's kind of weird about me in the therapist world that makes me a little bit odd, is because I'm that court chick. I have spread my wings and added some different streams of income. And what I always come back to is kind of just this calling and love for court, and then looking out and trying to help therapists when they have court kind of knocking on their door. And so I've been really blessed. I just finished my doctorate this summer. Thank God it's over. and it's really hard working on that when you're, when you're working full time with kids. But yeah, so I've just been blessed to know you since we first met at the Most Awesome Conference. And I think, wow, 8 years ago, maybe
2015.
Oh my gosh. So, time flies. So I'm just happy to be here. And I love listening to you. And I love what you share with the world. And I've also seen, I think, the fruits of your labor, which has been some of the folks in our community who've really benefited from your guidance and your coaching and have been able to hear you and have watched them flourish. And that's a beautiful thing. It's really a beautiful thing.
Thank you. I take that really seriously, but also with the grace and compassion and that it's delivered, because, like, you know, I've never been able to help all the people, but if I can help the people helping the people, then I feel like I've left the planet in better shape than when I came into it. So I appreciate that, Nicole. So when you say you're the court chick, what do you go to court for and what do you do? Like, what's the point of you being called into court?
So I do a few different things. And so I have worked as an expert witness since about 2015. Prior to that, I went to court as a fact witness, where I was the social worker who had information about something and I would essentially share those facts in the courtroom. Now as an expert, I'm opining. I'm providing opinions, and that's based upon my training, education, experience. And providing those opinions, I tend to find most of my work in the civil court. So that's going to be like lawsuits versus not as many in criminal court. There have been some family law court cases, and then also just a few that are considered dependency court. So where they would hear like a foster care case. So when I get hired on a case, I'll get hired by either the plaintiff or the defense. and I do a review of the case. I am providing opinions, and then I either am writing a report, testifying in a deposition, or like this morning, I was actually testifying in trial. And so it just kind of depends. But really, I always tell people, it doesn't matter which side hires me, because the truth is the truth. And I really, I love investigating, digging in and looking at everything. And so being able to testify about what the standard of care is, and whether I'm talking about child welfare or the standard of care in the clinical setting as a therapist, I just enjoy that. And I'm always appreciative of the information that I get to share. And you get to teach, and you get to teach at that level in a courtroom the importance of what this work is and what it's supposed to look like. And so I love my work. And then I have been coaching therapists for, I don't know, probably 7 years now, for when they have to go to court, and not telling them what to say, but just helping them prepare for that environment that they're just not used to.
Yeah, it's, and I know that there'll be people listening to this. So if you don't have to be a therapist to get information out of this today, because I can assure you I'm not a therapist, I'm a rehabilitation counselor. And I have used Nicole's information, I have bought her products and services, and it totally transformed my own, what we call here in Australia, medico-legal expert witness preparedness and confidence. And it just helped me make sure that my skills were being used correctly, not just by me, but by the court. Because let's face it, when you're an expert witness, you're actually, your job is to the court, not to the people who hired you. Yeah, speak into that a little bit, because everybody goes, what do you want me to say? What am I supposed to say? What notes am I supposed to provide? How do I keep these people who are going to pay me happy? And it's like, ooh, you've missed the point.
Right. And it's always the truth. And that's the easiest thing to do. The case does not rely on your shoulders as much as somebody might put that pressure on you. If you're testifying as, let's say, the therapist, you're the treating therapist, your job might be at that point, after you've received consent to be able to even share these records, right? To be able to speak about what the facts are of the case and what the facts are of the treatment that you've been providing, so on and so forth. But you're not providing opinions. You have a pre-existing relationship with your client, therefore you're inherently biased. And that's not a bad thing. That's actually a good thing. And that's how we actually do even better work as therapists, because we're aligning with our clients, we're walking with them. So of course there's some bias. Where things change is when you switch over, and if you're doing expert witness work, there's no pre-existing relationship. There's a very small percentage of folks who actually do the treating expert work. I don't even touch that, because I think it's too hard. I'm like, no thanks. I just stick to one or the other.
I won't touch it either. It's a duality that I don't like. Yeah,
exactly. So it's one or the other. So as an expert, it's really this ability to take all of your experience, all your training, your education, and to do an assessment. You're looking at the information and you're trying to help the court. So you're essentially their witness, and you're saying, I'm here to tell you that it's my opinion, you know, that this did or did not meet what the standard of care is, that this did or did not meet what was needed or what should have happened. Or in fact, if it had been done correctly, here's what it should have looked like. And then you take them through those steps. Because again, it's not like the bench officer, the judge, has time to run out and do an investigation. What we're doing is we are providing the information that they don't have time to go get. They are relying on us to give them factual information. And that information is expected to be helpful to the court. And so it has to be done clearly. It has to be done in a way that makes sense to them. It's really interesting. And so it's such a, I really do think it's a blessing. Like, I think it's an honor. I'm really grateful that I get to do that work and be in that setting, because again, jury or not, that judge is looking for information. And so being able to convey it in a way that makes sense, being able to offer those opinions is really just, I feel blessed to do the work. So I'm grateful for it.
And I think that's one of the things that transformed for me as well, getting to that point, because I've done a lot of medico-legal work here in Australia, and I used to have a reputation for doing it for the big insurance companies, but that's just where the referrals were coming from. But now my business does a lot for the plaintiffs. Has it changed the way we do the work? No.
It doesn't change the work.
It doesn't, because the truth is the...
Yeah.
The truth is the truth.
And the numbers just shift. And so there's times when I'll be working on more defense cases, and there's times when I have more plaintiff cases, and they'll say, oh, what's your percentage? I'm like, I don't know. If I did percentages, you know, I probably wouldn't be a social worker. So I have to like literally get out my calculator and like add it up and be like, oh my gosh, it's 60-40. Like, okay. But it, again, I can in 1 week work on a defense case or a plaintiff case. It doesn't matter because the truth is the truth. And so I think the blessing has been the times I've been fired. Let's talk about that. I appreciate being fired, at times from whether it's a law firm or specific attorney, because they're expecting me to be a hired gun and that's just not what they're going to get. And I try to explain that at the beginning. It's in my contract. It says that you're not paying for my opinions, like you're paying me for my time. And yet there's still a few folks that don't quite understand that, or they really believe their case is a winner or whatever that is. I don't know. Can't climb into their heads. But when they are frustrated with me and they're saying, this is not what we paid for, I, in my head, I'm hearing, you thought you were buying somebody. You're not buying me. And I'm happy to part ways with you. So I do take it as a compliment. It's still, I usually have a little bit of shock and awe when it happens. And then I kind of have to laugh. I'm like, okay, thanks. Cause I'm glad we are parting ways.
And the way I've been able to reframe that, cause I used to get horrified and then it's not fair and you're doing it wrong. But then it's like, actually you are advocating the best way you know how for your client. And that's awesome. That's what they're paying you for your advocacy. I don't have to be a part of this. Right. I can choose to step away from this because you can't just ignore pages 7 through 17.
Right. The facts. The actual
of what
evidence.
You right? sent me.
The evidence. Yes. The actual evidence, which is what is so amazing to me, because then I look at an attorney and I think, oh my gosh, you're just going to dig your heels in. And then, you know, I might feel a little concerned for their client, but that's not my position. I just back out of it and wish them well. And so I'm very, very upfront whenever I get retained, like, just so you know, heads up, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to like tell you things you may not want to hear, but you'd rather hear it here than in a courtroom, yes. Right? So I've just been fortunate, I think, that I've worked with enough great attorneys, honorable attorneys, ones that really care about their clients and the results, and that they're going to do a good job in when they select me or whoever they select, that plays into it because they want to do a good job. And so I'm grateful for that. But yes, I also don't mind being fired because that probably means it wasn't a good fit.
Yeah, good. I love the way you can approach this with such a matter-of-fact attitude. I can assure everybody who's listening to this for the first time, if you don't know Nicole, this is not her putting this on. This is not a defense mechanism. This is not her being, you know, unreasonably detached. This is just who she is. It's just like, it's not my job, not my circus, not my monkeys. And I think, you know, early on when you started doing this work, and you were very clear when I first met you, I don't like the therapy. I don't want to do the therapy. So can you take yourself back to that moment? Because you went to social work school for a reason, right? You went to social work school. Yes. What did you think you would be doing as a social worker?
So as a social worker, because I thought, you know, I'm going to go work at Child Protective Services. I'll probably only stay a few years. I stayed almost 12 years. And I thought I would be spending more time with kids. And I was really spending more time with the adults. And so that was kind of shocking. And so I was like, I want to work with kids. And then what I realized about the therapy piece is if I want to work with kids, it's when my kids are out of school. And that doesn't work, because one of the biggest reasons, if not the biggest reason that I left Child Protective Services was I wanted to see my kids grow up. And so what I realized is the clientele that I really wanted to work with, they wanted to come at that those same hours, and that was just not going to work. Mm-hmm. And so I took what I had already learned from the work I'd done, and then took the time, because I had a relationship with a law firm and talked with them about what it would be like if I got into this work. And what I had found is, one, it's definitely my calling. And then two, it's flexible around my kids' schedule, because the rest of it will all go away at some point, right? Mm. But the kind of kids that we raise and who we are in life, and I do believe who we are in business is who we are in life, it will matter. And so because of that, I am able to 90% of the time move my work and schedule around my kids and still feel like I'm doing what I want to be doing, what I need to be doing, and what's my calling. And so that's flexibility is I would think my most cherished asset. And when I think about, like, when you talk about me being matter of fact, I've gotten more and more, I'd say, matter of fact, because I've seen the worst of the worst. I've had child homicide cases that I've investigated in person. I now still see them on paper, through lawsuits. Mm. I've seen the ugliest of the ugliest of the world. And I'm so grateful that I get to do the work that I do, even though I'm still looking at a lot of the darkness. But knowing that if I did go into therapy, the hours just don't mix. And I still have actually a handful, they'll be upset if they hear this. I do have a handful of therapy clients that I see that, are very flexible and are willing to kind of work with my schedule. And I love it because it's refreshing compared to like this dark child abuse work that I'm always looking at. But so I do love working with them and that's really refreshing, but I can't do that. Extend out that much energy in that way, 20, 30 hours a week, it's easier for me to be doing this different brain work, if you will, this different investigation. And typically in my yoga pants and my flip flops, you know, and my hair is usually in a mom bun. And so again, like what fits, but to me, the biggest asset, and I want to say you and I talked about this when we first met, and it was the idea of flexibility and kind of what do we cherish? What do we want? And there were things that we couldn't even dream of yet, or at least I couldn't yet. And it took me a long time. I'd be like, oh, that's what they were talking about. that was.
And it's just delightful that you can kind of go back to that conversation that we had in 2015 and actually take it seriously. This is the value of coaching people when the coach is actually coaching you, not befriending you, so that you can actually help hold people account to what they say they want to do. And I think that was one of my gifts to the world is this is what you said you wanted. Has that changed? Or let's figure out what it is that you really want rather than what are all the conditions and conditional thoughts you've got about what you're supposed to want. The Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast is proudly sponsored by Purple Co., the Purpose for People company. If you or someone you know is struggling to make sense of the world of work, of employment, after a diagnosis and injury, or they're recovering from some type of forced change in their world, then the consultants of Purple Co. are the people you want to engage with. Learn more about how we help people take back control of their lives by visiting our website, www.purpleco.com.au. Because one of the things I really want you to share with us is way back in, you know, years ago when you decided I'm going to do this course, I want to become an expert witness and it's going to be about child protection. And I remember the conversation where you said, this is going to be dark, this is going to be heavy, but I need some additional income while I'm getting this up and running. And I don't want it to be anything to do with the therapist world.
Yes.
Yes. And I went, ooh, this is brave. What is she going to do? So what did you do?
Oh, so I started being a consultant for Rodan and Fields and I loved it. It was so light and everybody's like, you, this doesn't even make sense. And I met some of the kindest, most wonderful business-minded women and men who were building passive income and I did it and I loved it. And I literally just backed off of it because my expert witness business is so busy that I really do need to give it all of my focus. But I did it, I want to say 7 years or 8 years. Mm-hmm. And it was this beautiful passive income. It made people happy. I built a team of amazing moms who also were building passive income. And everybody's got great skin now, right? And now we have hair.
And beautiful eyelashes, the most amazing eyelash serum.
I didn't quit it. I literally just gifted my business to the person above me who has been, I would say, caring for it for me. Because when I was in my doctorate, I was like, man, I don't have time to make this phone call or just little tiny things that people needed. And I wanted them to feel cared for. So I would tell them, talk to Terry. So Terry has been doing that. And I said, I want to gift you my business. So she will now take my consultants and my customers. And I have a nice little business going. And everyone's like, I can't believe you're just going to walk away. I'm like, yeah, but it's not my time. It was beautiful. And it was this beautiful vehicle that just honestly gave me a break. And I loved the conventions were fun and full of energy. And And you just made, I still have such good close friends that I met through this network that I never would have imagined. I'm like, selling skincare. It seemed so cheesy. And what I was so absolutely shocked, blessed with, and surprised with is it was, I learned so much about business building and relationships and following through on your word and what it was like to stand behind a product that is tested and proven. And, you know, it's so relatable to what we do in our work. And so I loved it. I loved it. And I literally just texted somebody this morning. I'm Marie Kondoing my life right now. Right. So everything's, lots of things are going because I'm getting kind of laser focused at just the next 10 years and what it's going to look like. And so that means that I'm still a customer of Rodin and Fields, but I've given my business, and my group to Terry, who's amazing. And then I'm also, moving aside, therapist court prep. And I'm going to be kind of harvesting that off and working with business school boot camp and letting them kind of have that access, which they already had purchased the court policy. Now any boot camper can have that because it's just part of boot camp, which is beautiful. And I love that. And so I'm just moving things. I'm kind of clearing the decks right now, but I'm forever grateful. And if anybody ever second guesses like trying something different, I would encourage them, try it. And please expect it not to just take off and it's not tomorrow you're a millionaire and then you get the car. That's insane. You know, that's just madness. It's just so ridiculous. Like, I love that picture of Jeff Bezos in his garage or whatever with the messy. I'm like, yes, because that's what it is. Everybody who's selling you the sparkles and the unicorn, the rainbow, like, oh, overnight you can do this and you can have a 9-figure practice and all the retreats and all the crap, you know, that's so unethical. No. And it's not. No. There's work to be done. There's work to be done. And
absolutely.
You need a coach who's ethical, like JoJo, right? Because she's going to hold you to your feet to the fire and be like, hey, didn't you say? And that matters when you get busy and you are trying to do all the things, to have somebody whose only focus is to help you build your business in an ethical, smart, flourishing way. That is a gift. And if somebody needs to hear that message today, I hope they hear it. Work with JoJo. I have watched her work miracles. And I don't mean miracles like overnight, you're going to be a millionaire. Mm-hmm. What I mean by miracle is people who I did not think or know that they have the capacity to flourish, and grace of God, JoJo got her hands on them and they're producing and they're getting it done and they are, you know, being organized and they're being thoughtful and they're putting good stuff out in the world. That's what it's all about. So don't be scared to try something new, but also like, don't expect overnight to be like, oh, I'm going to be a millionaire. Cause that's dumb.
Thank you. It is dumb. Don't believe the Instagram hype. And please don't believe the marketing. Anyway, we could have a whole great big conversation about that. But what I want to help people understand now is Nicole is talking to us like this fully formed next version of herself. But we have actually talked about an 8-10 year history here that has allowed her to go, social work is my calling, but I love kids. Don't necessarily like the adults. Don't really like agency. Don't want to be doing the therapy every day, all day, every day. My family is super important. What am I good at? What do I love to do that's going to help me meet the needs of my family, but still nourish me on the inside? Ooh, I'm going to become an advocate for really good social work. Because let's be clear, that's what Nicole does in court, right? You're not an advocate for the defense or the client. You're an advocate for really good care. Right. Am I right? You're nodding. She's nodding your head.
I'm nodding my head. And I'm also thinking, because I spend a lot of time in court, like explaining the difference between standard of care versus regulations and best practice. Best practice is what we all aspire to. What the standards are typically are much lower. They're like bronze level, right? But that's all that's really required is bronze level. And this is in most careers, right? Bronze level care says you see a client or whatever, you write a note and you follow your code of ethics and blah, blah, blah. And then there's that best practice piece where it's what we aspire to be even better. And so I spend actually quite a bit of time in court explaining the difference and how we, like, this is the must, right? The bronze level is the must. The gold is the, I wish the gold was the standard. Yeah. And then let's talk about those, that best practice and what that should look like and how that can help kids and how that can help all of us. But if we can't even get to that point where we're meeting the basics, right? We have bigger issues. And so there's a lot of time spent on that. And then I would say my advocacy comes in with my nonprofit, which that is not going away, that I'm very proud of Kids Court. Kids Court's been around since 2014, 2015. And it's free, and it's for any kid who's been a victim or witness of a crime. We prepare them for court. We don't discuss the case. We just get them ready to, for the environment. And we do a lot of, like, you know, just exposure and trauma reduction. And then if that goes well, we might move them into a real courtroom to practice, and then they have their case. And then with grant money, we also, we have probably 30 kids who are in therapy right now for free. And we utilize Central Counseling Services. Mm. They're one of our number one contractors for that. And they do amazing work. And so Kids Court is really where I get that opportunity to advocate for kids and for them to hopefully leave court feeling stronger and taller and feeling like they had a chance to hear their, to have their voice heard. And so Kids Court is really my passion project. I don't have an income from it. That's, you know, I do that somewhere else. Kids Court is really about just helping the kids in our area and even extended areas be able to have that day and not have it be more traumatic. Mm-hmm. And instead, hopefully they're leaving feeling like, I did it, yeah. You know, yeah. I got it out. And so Kids Court, has, we recently just, we have an additional fund, from a sweet girl named, Gia, who passed away. And she, after her passing, raised over $90,000, I think close to 100. And so we're going to be working with our local rape crisis center to offer them those services for free therapy. And again, we'll be contracting that out. But it's there's so many ways to advocate and to, you know, to do what we want to do as far as like who we want to be in the world and what we want to offer. And when there's limitations, I think there's ways to work past those or obstacles. But again, the benefit of somebody like JoJo's brain is the ability to look at the logistics, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think many of us are dreamers. I'm a dreamer. Oh, I like the idea of so many things. And then I stop and then I say, okay, what would this really look like? What mm-hmm. would a day of this look like? What mm-hmm. are the true logistics? Mm-hmm. What's really possible? And that's where coaching can be so helpful, because it can be hard for many of us because our brains are all over the place and all these ideas, which is great, but honing them in and then coming up with a plan and really looking at what would my real day look like, that's hard. At least it's been for me. It's been really hard. Like that's been tough. It's gotten better over time. But again, is it logistically sound? Like, is it mm-hmm. something that I want to do? Do I really want to spend those kinds of hours? And so that's that hard part about like what clients we want to see, when would we see them? Where would we see them? Does it make sense? And how much can we do of that until we're depleted and we have to, you know, either reset or how do we avoid that? There's so much that goes into it, right? Just trying to figure out
where
the time is spent. Yeah.
Yeah, there is. And it's, yeah, I think there's this, we've done ourselves a disservice by trying to tell everyone, like coaching has done a disservice. Marketing coaching has done a disservice. I got there by telling everybody how easy it is. There are easy principles to follow, but you've got to know the principles. Yeah. And then you've actually got to have somebody or some way of getting those principles into yourself, because they will bring up your own stuff. There will be barriers. There will be things you don't like. No, therapists, especially social workers, you're a little bit different. I'm not in it for the money. Not in it for the money. Not in it for the money. I'm not in it for the money. I'm here to help all the people. But then when I start digging into it, it's like, why are things not moving? And why? Because I need the money. I haven't paid my bills. I'm this far behind on debt. Oh, I never pay anything on time. And I'm like, and you're wondering why your clients aren't showing up? So
it's all money work is so important. Money work is like, if there's one other thing that has to be done, it's the money work. It has to be. You have to look at your money story and whatever is attached to it, whether it's shame or grandiose, whatever it is. But everybody has a money story, and that shows up in our work And I've had, I can't count how many shame me. Oh, how much do you, you know, charge an hour? And you're a social worker. Oh, yeah. And literally you hear the word social work and you think poverty, poor, it should be this, this, this. And oh, you're just this. And I think, no, actually I've spent a lot of time, energy and education and training, learning how to be really, really good at what I do. And I can honestly say I am really good at what I do. So because of that, I feel just fine charging my hourly rate, that it doesn't bother me at all. So when people in our community start shaming each other for, you know, whatever it is around money, I automatically, I'm like, you might as well wave a huge flag that says, I have money issues, because, and I need to shame you for it because that feels good. Like that you're going to get deleted real quick because that's not healthy. And there are so many of us that have realized, you know, and have done the money work, that, you know, I would say, you know, the adults are talking.
I know you feel like you put in some good juju out there into the world, but the rest of us are seeing it going, don't touch, walk away.
Like, no, thank you. I do. So this is what my, and I do this. I still have a kid that circles back to me sometimes for therapy. And we say, no, thank you. We put our hand on our heart. And when somebody's coming at you with that, and I just say, no, thank you. And so they look at me kind of crazy sometimes because they'll be saying, oh, I need you to do this, that. And I say, oh, no, thank you.
That's
no, thank
gorgeous.
You. No, thank you. And I just, and it's almost like tapping because you literally put your hand on your heart and it doesn't let it in because otherwise you're soaking that crap up. I'm like, no, thank you. Like, that's not mine. That's yours. That's, I don't want to do that. So I do a no, thank you. So a no, thank you is very, very helpful to me. And it might be to others, especially if people are trying to give you something that you don't want or need. And I haven't asked for it. I haven't asked you to shame me, but thanks for the free shaming, I guess. No, thank you. I'm good. You go ahead and hang on that to yourself. Like, I'm good. All full here. Like, good.
Thank you for the free shaming, otherwise known as free coaching. Yes. Anywho. Okay, that was not where we were going with this. So, Nicole, your expert witness or your expertise is growing.
Yes.
You're really starting to, you've decided that the next 10 years is going to be all about this, all about taking your court work into an advocacy that you do there. You're going to build a team of people who can do this with you. So if people wanted to learn more about who you are and what you do and where the hell they can get on this therapist court prep thing before it disappears, where do they go to find you? How do we find you?
Therapist court prep left this morning, but you can find me. And if you need help and you're in our world and you just shoot me an email and tell me, kind of give me a little blurb about what's going on, I can usually find some time to reach out and say there's either something I have or there's somebody I'm going to refer you to. So you can go to NicoleStoller.com, and which is really simple, NicoleStoller.com. And that's my expert witness website. You can go there. And if you're interested in Kids Court and Counseling Center and you're thinking you'd like to donate $1 million, I see you. That is, that's kc-cc.org. And so you can find me at either one and just tell me how you heard about me and what you're kind of looking for and what you do. And then I will do my best to try to assist, and or refer you if that's what's needed. Sometimes it's just a quick question and I can knock that out really quickly. I do that quite often. I'm like, you don't need a consult. Let me just knock this out real quick. And then there's other times where I'm like, oh, wow, we need some time. We need a lot of time, and I'm not gonna give up on helping our community because we really don't get the preparation in school for court, and that's really why therapist court prep, you know, became a thing, is because there was just this constant need. And so luckily there seems to be more of a conversation about court because it's a very litigious time. And so I would just say to everyone, like, it's a great, it's one of those things that you just can't pretend like it doesn't exist.
Yes.
Everybody should have a court policy in their intake packet. It should be discussed. It might even need to be on your front page of your website, whether or not you are willing to do any court letters or any of that. And just so that when people are shopping and trying to figure out who's a good fit, if that's not something that you want, why not be really clear about that on your website so that it's one less person that maybe is wasting their time doing a consult or even your time doing a consult. So, but yes, you can still find me at NicoleStoller.com and feel free to reach out. I've been really blessed to do this work for this amount of time. And as I extend and build my new firm, which will be, I guess, active come January 1st. And we're still naming it. Hopefully that'll happen this weekend. I'm on one of my retreat weekends. So hopefully we'll have that by the end of the weekend. But yes, you can still find me.
And we will put links to Kids Court and Nicole's website on the show notes. And we'll, come find me on Facebook or join the Future Proofing Health Professionals Facebook group, which is kind of free. And I'll make sure that I can get that information to you there as well. I want to say a huge thank you for you gifting your time, your knowledge, your expertise, and letting me take everybody on a history lesson. Just so we can, start to apprehend some of this overnight success crap that is floating around, and let people know that when you do the right work at the right time, when you spend the time working out who you are, what's important to you and why that's important to you, then you can have a lifestyle, not just a business, but a lifestyle that helps you flourish. So before we go, my next extremely and last extremely important question, when we get to meet each other again in real life and we're in a cafe, what coffee will you be ordering?
Will I be ordering? Okay. So I had to move to decaf. It's so embarrassing because it was...
Yes, I am embarrassed right now.
Caffeinated was making my heart race. But I love coffee. I love the smell of it. I love the taste of it. So I drink it depends. I'll drink a decaf with some stevia, maybe a little bit of almond milk. That's happiness right there. It's like kind of like a café con leche, depending on where you are.
Nice.
And I can also do that iced. But I love the smell of coffee. Like I just had a cup probably an hour ago. And it was like, oh, I miss the days when this used to give me energy. And it's really a treat for me now. To me, it's like a dessert because I just can't do like the hardcore caffeine anymore, which is like so sad. But I love it. And I know you love you some coffee. So that'll be the coffee we'll be drinking.
Beautiful. Oh, this has been so much fun. And as always, it is very, very short. But thank you again. And this has been the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast. And I am now going to go and have double macchiato and almond milk because my brain just stopped working completely. And that is another episode of the Entrepreneurial Clinician Podcast done. Just want to say a big thank you to all the people who make this podcast possible. To all of my guests, a big thank you for sharing your time, your energy, your wisdom with me and my community. You are greatly appreciated. To Debbie and Jen, thank you for making this possible. And in the spirit of respect, please ask for and receive permission before you use any of my intellectual property. Because you know what? Not giving appropriation to creators is just not cool. Until next episode, go be your awesome self. Oh, and by the way, please make sure you subscribe, rate, and leave me a review so that other people are able to find this podcast. That's kind of important. Go do that.